So I'm very happy to give a second talk to the kids seminar. The title now is the Gorgonzola Construction, but actually the talk is going to cover several fundamental concepts in case theory, including the definition, and some more about the vector bundles, and concrete computation of case theory on spheres, and then case rules with compact support. In a sense, it is actually a continuation of the talk last time, and it's also, we also look forward to future things which are not covered in this talk, which are relative cases, AR groups, higher groups, or periodicity in general form, and ABA construction characteristic class in the theory, etc. So, let me start with the first part. Recall that the vector bundle is a certain kind of vibration whose fiber has over each point in the base are vector spaces. And the dimension of the vector space is called the rank of the vector bundle. And the vector space could be over the field of real numbers, complex numbers, or quaternionic numbers. And for at least for the most part of the talk, I assume that the base space X is a compact space. And we learned last time that we know how to identify vector bundles by isomorphism. So that K of X over the real field is a set of all isomorphism classes of real vector bundles. And I replace them by C or H, it is set of complex and quaternionic vector bundles. So vaguely speaking, it is just a set of order possible different vector bundles of rank K. Now, since we are mostly going to concern with complex vector bundles, if I'm talking about complex vector bundles, I draw this superscript C. So, if I take the union of all possible vector bundles of various ranks in a space, which is possible vector bundles of all ranks, the nth element of this is a class more than a class of vector bundles. Now, in this space, we, because this space rank is not fixed, we can perform various operations, for example, the direct sum. The products, change of rank is obvious. But on the other hand, there is no subtraction. This is the same if we look at the set of natural numbers, which consists of 0, 1, 2, etc. But in this step, there is plus sum and multiplication, but there is no difference in this step. This analogy is actually not completely foolish, because actually we have a map from the center of the vector bundle to n, which is the rank. And the direct sum at n corresponds to sum and multiplication in n. But we know that for n, we can extend that set to the set of integers. An integer here is formally a difference of the two numbers. Instead of natural numbers. So we would like to ask, what will be the counterpart for the space rank of X? In that counterpart, you will be able to calculate differences, not just sums and not multiplications. So that leads to the concept of the K group. If X is a compact space, let Kx be the set of formal differences of two vector bundles. This is sometimes called the virtual vector bundle. Now, this set is defined with the following identification. If I add G to both E and F in the formal difference, then I should get the same thing. This is let's have this about that's what I think is that if I add to the same number, Now notice that this identification is not a symmetry in the usual sense in this space here. This is actually a redundancy. When we describe an object in here, we use E and F. And the redundancy is that there's too much information here left to describe an element in here. So it's actually an identification, not a transformation in any sense. But with this definition, then K of X becomes a group, actually an abelian group, under a direct sum. The direct sum is defined obviously in this fashion. But more importantly, in this K of X, there is a sense of inverse, the inverse of the minus of B minus of B. That's by a D, this is a perfectly good element in K of X. This is not possible if I just restrict myself to that factor of X. Now, strangely, mathematicians would somehow feel just uncomfortable in just saying that we have a set of formal differences. So the abstract construction is that K X is a set of pairs. Identification, and we should, in our mind, we should regard this pair as a form of difference. A set of pairs modulo this difference. And if I have then a set which, in which I have only a sum but not a difference, then this construction would give me a group coming from that set, which is called a semi group. I just have the sum. This construction is called the Fourier construction. It's not just valid for k for k of x, for any set with a sum defined in a nice way. We can form this group, and this is called the Fourier group associated with that standard group. And actually, for complex vector bundles, there's another operation which is dependent on that, and these operations. I bring this object in a ring. Now, I just talked about complex vector bundles. Similar construction obviously can be carried through for real vector bundles and quaternionic vector bundles. We also can consider virtual difference, and then that leads to the group of KO of X and KSP of X. The terminology O and SP stands for the orthogonal and symplectic group, which is very important in the classification of real and quaternionic vector bundles. And for this reason, sometimes K of X is denoted by KU of X, because the unitary group is important in the classification of complex vector bundles. These KO and K are rings because we can take tensor product of bundles. But for quaternionic numbers, because the number is not commutative multiplicatively, so we cannot define tensor product, so it's just a group. So I'm going to give you a few simple remarks and examples for this, which is immediately followed from the definition of the K group. So suppose I take X to be a point. It's a space with just one point, and then a vector bundle is just a vector space, and up to isomorphism, the only thing that is relevant is the rank. So that of a point is the set of natural numbers, and therefore the K group constructed from that construction is obviously Z. This would be the virtual rank. The other thing that is obvious from last lecture is that suppose I have a continuous map from two compact spaces X, between X and Y, then I can pull back vector bundles. And this allows me to pull back pairs of vector bundles, or formal differences of vector bundles, in the obvious way.
So now I have, because pullback behaves nicely under the direct sum, so this would be a group homomorphism. These are abelian groups, and this preserves the sum. Now, I said in general, for a vector bundle over a space which is more complicated, not necessarily a point, I can take the rank of the vector bundle. And in the K group, I can take the virtual rank, which is the difference of the two ranks. And this is obviously a group homomorphism. It preserves the sum in the vector or in K. Now, there's actually an alternative way to look at this map, which is the rank. Now, actually, I can take any point in the space and consider the inclusion from the space of one point to x. Then, according to the general construction, I have a pullback map, which is pullback from the K group of x to the K group of a point, which is just z. And this is the same map as the rank map, because the z inside this the integer inside this set is precisely the rank of the object here. And that means in the K group, there's always a piece of information which is trivial, which is the rank of the bundle. In fact, we can construct any vector bundle of a trivial vector bundle of arbitrary rank. So that information is trivial, and we need to separate that out. So if I let tilde of x to be the kernel of that rank, those virtual differences, those differences of rank zero, or the kernel of that inclusion map, then this is called the reduced K group of X. In this group, the obvious information, which is the rank of the bundle, is thrown out. So K of X is the unreduced K group is equal to Z, which contains the information of a rank, plus an object, which is quite interesting, in which the rank information is thrown away. So the detailed map is from here, from K of X, the vector bundle is mapped to the rank here, and paired with a virtual bundle with rank zero.
What is IRK?
I is actually the trivial bundle of rank one over any space. So I of L is the direct sum of L of them. It's a trivial bundle of rank L. So by subtracting a trivial bundle of the same rank here, I make sure that this difference has rank zero. Uh-huh. And that's why it resides in the reduced K group. So for a K group, I always have information which I know. And the interesting thing to compute is the reduced K group. And I just said everything about the complex vector bundle, and everything obviously carries through to the real or quaternionic vector bundle. I can define the real, the reduced KO group and the reduced KSP group. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that K group is a very honest characterization or collecting all the information of the vector bundle. Some information of the vector bundle is lost in the K group. Take, for example, the two sphere. We know that the tangent bundle is not trivial because there's nowhere vanishing, nowhere. Zero vector field on that tangent bundle. So it's not trivial. In fact, so it is not the same as the trivial bundle of rank 2 in the space of vector bundles. But what about in the K group? Let us consider the normal bundle of the sphere in three dimensions. This is a trivial bundle because we obviously have a trivialization. We can uniformly choose an outward pointing normal vector. So that means the normal bundle is trivial. If I add the tangent bundle with the normal bundle, then at each point I just have an honest three-dimensional space. And that is also a trivial bundle. If I add the non-trivial bundle with a trivial bundle, I get a trivial bundle. Now what does that imply in K group? Well, this implies that in KO of S2, the tangent bundle, because I identify that in the K group there is identification, I can add a piece and subtract a piece. And if I add a piece, I notice that it's a trivial bundle, I3, and it is the same as the trivial bundle of rank 2. So in the K group, KO, certain information is lost. And in the K group, the tangent bundle is the same as the trivial vector bundle of rank 2, although as vector bundles, they are different. Now, I would like to say that this is because the rank of the bundle we are considering is too small. And such kind of phenomena cannot happen if the rank of the vector bundle is big enough, which we will see in a minute. And that leads to the second part, which is vector bundles of large rank. For this purpose, let us consider a compact manifold of dimension n. This would be a base space. And suppose E and F are real vector bundles of rank k over x. Then there's an important result of vector bundles, which is that if the rank is greater than the dimension of the base manifold, if the fiber has more dimension than the base manifold, then there is always a sub-bundle in the original bundle, such that the original bundle of a higher rank is equivalent to a sub-bundle of rank n plus a trivial bundle. What does this mean? This means that when the rank is high enough, the rank itself is not important, because all the non-trivial twistings in the vector bundle of rank k already appeared in the twisting in the vector bundle of rank n. So that's a very important property. And this is only one of the sense that the rank of the vector bundle is unimportant when it gets large. In the other result is that if the rank is big enough, then if the two bundles are isomorphic after adding a trivial bundle, then they must be isomorphic themselves. So in that sense, it also shows that when the rank is high enough, the rank itself is not important. This would not be true, for example, for the tangent bundle of S2, because if I add a trivial bundle, it change a non-trivial bundle to a trivial bundle. This cannot happen if the rank is big enough. Basically, it's because for the tangent bundle, the rank is exactly equal to the dimension, so it's not satisfying this range.
Are you going to prove this?
Yes, I'm going to show it, give an outline of proof in a minute. But for this reason, the range k greater than n is called the stable range of the real vector bundles. And you see, the increase of the rank does not lead to new non-trivial bundles because of the first statement. And let's comment on the second statement. We say that two bundles of possibly different rank are stably equivalent if by adding various pieces of trivial bundles of appropriate rank, they become isomorphic. Now, the second property says that the two vector bundles of the same rank in the stable range, they are stably equivalent if and only if they're isomorphic. Usually, being isomorphic is much stronger than being stably equivalent, but one can show that when the rank is high enough, they are actually the same. So I only have time to give an outline of the proof, which is illustrated as follows. Now, remember we want to show that there are trivial pieces that can be split out from the vector bundle if the rank is high enough.
Mm.
How is that possible? Well, we can do that step by step. If we can show that if the rank is big enough, then we can split up one piece, then we can do it again and again. Eventually, we lead to this result, up to lowest possible, which is n. So how to show that there at least one sub-bundle, which is trivial? Well, one can do this by constructing a nowhere zero section for this vector bundle. If that is done, then that direction is a trivial bundle, and the complement direction is a sub-bundle. So once that is done, it is done. So how to do that? Well, the trick is to decompose the manifold, the base manifold, into cells, or synthesis, whatever is convenient. So if I decompose into cells, there are zero cells, which are vertices. One cell, they are arcs connecting the vertices, and two cells are the surfaces which bound these arcs, etc. So after I've done this decomposition, then I first define the nowhere zero section on the zero cells. This is always possible. I just choose whatever I wish. Just make sure it's now zero. Okay, so now I extend it to the one cell, which are arcs. This is possible. I just connect paths in the fiber direction by avoiding zero. And then I do it for two cells, three cells, etc. Now, the rank of the vector bundle is big enough, means that that this space, rk minus zero, with zero deleted, has enough room so that it's possible to make extension at each stages. At each stage, it's possible to make such extension by avoiding zero. If the rank is low, then this space is too small, then that is not possible. Now, the detail of that involves obstruction theory. It's a branch of topology involving, in which case, the extension of maps is possible. So this is a very involved theory. But this is the main idea. It is perhaps interesting to mention that there's an alternative proof. In differential topology, we know that the vector bundle has a nowhere zero section if and only if the Euler class of the vector bundle is zero. Now, the Euler class is a cohomology of degree k, and that is necessarily zero if that degree is larger than the dimension of the manifold. Here's another proof.
Question?
Yes?
So showing you the non-zero section is showing that there's a one-dimensional trivial sub-bundle.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, but how do you know that that's a direct summand?
Well, I can put a Hermitian structure on the vector space and then take its Hermitian complement. That is a sub-bundle. That complement is not canonical. It depends on the Hermitian structure, but there it is. So that proves the first part. What about the second part? So if I have two bundles, which upon a direct sum of a trivial bundle of rank 1, I want to show that they themselves are isomorphic. How do I show that? Well, the trick is to construct a homotopy between E and F. And here is the construction. Now, suppose I consider the space x cross the unit interval. So this is x, that is the unit interval. And I'm constructing a bundle over that product space, which is I put over each x cross t, which is when t moves, this x cross t moves from this to there. For each x cross t, I put the same vector bundle, which is e plus I. So basically, in the t direction, the construction is trivial. So now I define two sections over x cross 0 and x cross 1, the initial and the final moment. Over x cross 0, I construct a nowhere zero section because this bundle has a sub-bundle, which is a trivial bundle. So over here, I have a non-zero, nowhere zero section. Now, over x cross 1 over there, I also have a nowhere zero section because I have this bundle is isomorphic to that, and I can choose a nowhere zero section according to this I, which is not necessarily that I. there's an isomorphism going on. But nevertheless, there's a nowhere zero section. Now, again, the condition that k is greater than n means that there's enough room so that we can extend, we can define a nowhere zero section throughout this base manifold such that it agrees with the initial and the final section. So again, this use of obstruction theory, it's possible because the rank is big enough, and I'm not going through that in detail. But once that construction is done, then if I follow t from 0 to 1, then take the orthogonal complement or Hermitian complement of that non-zero section, then I get a homotopy from E to F, from E to F, which shows that the bound of E and F themselves are isomorphic. So it's now quite interesting that when the rank is big enough, the we can replace the usual isomorphism by stable isomorphism. In that isomorphism, the ranking formation is not stably equivalent. In that case, the ranking formation is not important. Now, we have came across another object, which is the reduced K group, in which the ranking formation is also not important. It has been projected out. So it's very natural to believe that this reduced K group should be actually the same as the set of stable equivalent classes of vector bundles if I mod out the set of vector bundles by that stable equivalence, then it should be the same as the reduced K group. And one can show that by constructing isomorphisms, by constructing maps in both ways. So, for example, if I start from a equivalent class of a stable equivalent class of vector bundles, in fact, there's a vector bundle, then it can go to the reduced K group by this relation. Or if I start from a reduced K group, then I can construct a stable equivalent class of vector bundles. And one can show that these maps are inverse to each other, and therefore establishing the isomorphism. The only thing tricky here is that if I have a reduced element in the reduced K group, it is of the form of the formal difference. How do I construct just one bundle from that formal difference? Well, the trick is as follows. I can show that on a compact manifold, I can for every bundle, I can choose something which cancels the twisting that in this bundle. I can choose a bundle F prime, which such that its direct sum with F becomes a trivial bundle. Now, once I do that, I can now obviously establish a map, which is mapping E to E plus F prime. In that sense, this is the negative of that F. The reason why this F prime exists is because it exists for the tautological bundle on the universal, on the classifying space, and everything is a pullback, so I just pull back the universal complement over there back, and then that would be F prime. So, so now I established two facts. One is that the reduced K group is the same as a set of stable equivalent class of vector bundles. And the other fact is when the rank of the bundle is big enough, a stable equivalence is the same as isomorphism, provided the rank of the bundle are the same.
Excuse me,
K0 has subtraction,
and the thing on the right side has subtraction. I mean,
is that
this K0 has
subtraction?
By which? By construction. What's the subtraction on?
What's the
subtraction on the right side?
Subtraction on the right side.
That's subtraction. I guess
that should also go through this construction. Yes, should also go through that construction to divide, to define subtraction. So I just recall that two facts that I have proved or at least indicated. One is this isomorphism. The reduced K group is isomorphic. It's the same as the space of stable equivalent class of vector bundles. And the other is when the rank is big enough, stable equivalence is the same as isomorphism. And if we combine these two things, then it is very interesting. So the reduced K group is now equal to the stable equivalent class of vector bundles. And then by the proposition, the stable equivalent class is the same as the isomorphism class of the vector bundles. If the rank is big enough for any K greater than N, this isomorphism holds. Now we need to recall a very crucial ingredient from the last lecture, which is that the vector bundles over X of a fixed rank K are classified by homotopy class of the map from X to the classifying space. This is the space, this is a Grassmannian. It's the space of real K-dimensional space inside an infinite-dimensional real vector space. So it's the same as the homotopy class from here to there. So now K group, or at least the reduced K group, is related to something in homotopy theory. So if we know how to calculate this, then we know the reduced K group. I will, of course, give examples, basically the spheres, in a moment. But for the purpose now, let's make a few comments. I have said earlier that this is valid only when the rank is big enough. If the rank is small, this would not be true. Because for the two reasons, which I said earlier, but let me repeat because it's very important. When the rank is too small, this would not be true because not all the possible bundle twists have yet appeared in a small rank. When the rank increases, we can have more non-trivial twistings. Unless the rank is already big enough, as we showed, then further non-triviality is not possible. And the second is that certain twists at ranks smaller than n or equal to n would disappear simply by adding a trivial bundle, as in the example of the tangent space of the sphere. And both these awkward things would disappear when the rank is big enough. This is called the stable range. Now, I said everything about the real vector bundles, but everything carries through for complex and quaternionic vector bundles, except that the stable range is slightly different. Because for complex space, it's at least twice the dimension. It's twice the dimension of the real space. So the stable range, the restriction of the rank is more relaxed. A rank K for a complex vector bundle is actually a rank 2K for a real vector bundle. For that reason, the purpose of the stable range for the complex vector bundle is K greater than n plus 2 over 2, the integer part of that. And once K is above that number, then everything I said about the real vector bundle would be true. And for quaternionic bundles, the stable range is this, divided by 4, which is obvious, because quaternionic number has real dimension 4. So that's the second part, which is a discussion of vector bundles of large rank. And we see that the isomorphism class of such vector bundles is precisely the reduced K group. And this is useful in the calculation, which we'll do for the sphere. So now comes the part for the K group of the sphere. So we would like to know, what is the reduced K group of Sn? What is it? Well, for complex vector bundles, I said that once we are in the stable range, then this reduced K group is the same as the isomorphism class of vector bundles of rank K, which is large enough for a fixed K large enough. And last time, it was proved that for vector bundles, for complex vector bundles, they are classified by that clutching function, or actually the transition function, actually the homotopy class of that, which is the maps from S minus 1 to the unitary group. And it is actually the N minus 1 homotopy group of that unitary group. So everything matches is because the bundle is trivial on the upper and lower disk. So everything now trivial is in the transition function, which is a map from S minus 1 to UK. So this is, if we can calculate the homotopy group of UK, then, for K large enough, then we know the reduced K group of the sphere. Okay, so what are the homotopy groups of UK?
Okay, quick question. Is this the same as a result over there? Is UK the same as GK of C? I thought GK was a Grassmannian. Different result.
If I replace that by C, then I would be.
That's a Grassmannian space.
Yes. If I replace that by
but
C.
The shift by degree one. Notice that when you go from the classified space to the group itself, the homotopy group is the same, except that you shift the degree by one.
This is because
this is very special to the N sphere.
This is because the N sphere is the union of two disks which are contractible. Therefore, the bundle over which is obviously trivial, and the only thing now trivial is the transition function here, how you glue things together here. And this is a map from a circle, a sphere of one dimension less to the unitary group, and therefore the homotopy class is n minus pi n minus 1 on UK. Now, the interesting thing is to compute that. Now, for the purpose of convenience, let's denote S0, the zero-dimensional sphere, to be just a set of two points. I guess this is just a convention. Then once I do that, then we know the reduced K group of the two points, there are two ranks concerned. I can cancel one of them in the reduced K group. I left with one more. So I have this is equal to Z. Now, what is the reduced K group of the circle? Well, it is equal to pi 0 of UK, where K is big enough. This UK is certainly connected. So pi 0 counts the number of connected components is equal to 1. It's a trivial thing. Therefore, as a group, it is equal to 0. What about all the possible complex vector bundles over S2? Well, it's pi 1 of UK. In UK, there's a U1 factor which contributes to the pi 1. The SUN factor is simply connected. So there's a U1 factor here contributes to pi 1, and this is equal to Z. And we know that the integers in Z are the first Chern class or the monopole charges of the bundle on the sphere. Now, for S3, I'm computing pi 2, and it is equal to 0. And for S4, I'm computing pi 3, which is Z, and this is the instanton number of the non-trivial bundle over S4 that lives in Z. And for S5, at pi 4 is equal to 0 when K is big enough. This is very important here. We now see the pattern, and in fact, it was observed by Bott. Here's this periodicity in a very special form. For the homotopy group of Lie group, pi n is equal to pi n plus 2 when k is big enough in a stable range. Now, this will be further discussed in the future lectures, but if I just use that fact, then there's also periodicity for the K group, for the reduced K group, for the sphere, and this is the complete result. In the future, we will discuss Bott periodicity for more complicated compact spaces, which is not the topic of this talk. So I said everything about complex vector bundle. For real vector bundles, everything is analogous. when K is big enough, then the reduced K group is the isomorphism class of vector bundles over Sn of a sufficiently high rank. And there's a complication here, as is mentioned in the last time. This is classified by the homotopy group of OK, which is disconnected, modulo the action of pi zero of OK. OK has two components. Determinant is either plus one or minus one. So pi zero of that is equal to Z2. There's a Z2 action here. And fortunately, at least in the stable range, this action is trivial. So it's as if we are not quotient anything out. It's just that homotopy group. So again, we are reduced to calculating the homotopy group of OK. So again, the KO reduced of S0 is Z for the same reason, because there are two points. One rank is thrown out, and there's another rank, which is here. What about KO reduced of a circle? Well, it is equal to pi 0 of OK. It has two components, therefore it is equal to Z2. Therefore, these are classifying the real vector bundles over the circle, and we detect the Möbius band as the non-trivial element in that C2. Over a circle, there's a non-trivial real bundle, which is a Möbius band. If I take the direct sum of the Möbius band with itself, it becomes trivial. So that's why it is in Z2. Now, what about real vector bundles over S2? Well, they are pi 1 of OK. We know that at least when K is equal to or greater than 3, then it has a universal cover, which is the spin group. Therefore, the fundamental group is equal to S2. And therefore, those bundles, the non-trivial element here correspond to bundles which does not have lift to the spin group, whose structure group does not lift to the spin group. And alternatively, because this is essentially the second Stifel-Whitney class of the real bundle here, and one can see that it is equal to the first Chern class of the complex vector bundle mod 2. So you can also imagine that this is the element here is the monopole charge mod 2. And KO of S3 is equal to 0. KO of S4 is equal to Z. Again, this Z is where the instanton number lives. And I see everything here has a very concrete meaning. KO of S5 is pi 4 of that. When K is big enough, pi 4 of that is equal to 0. So those are K groups, KO groups for the sphere. These are for these classified real vector bundles. So what about quaternionic number bundles? Well, here we have a similar story. The reduced K group is isomorphic to the space of isomorphism class of vector bundles over Sn when K is big enough. And it is equal to the n-1 homotopy group of the synthetic group defined on a two-dimensional vector space, 2k-dimensional vector space. So K reduced of S0 is again Z. Now, for synthetic group, it's very nice. Pi 0, pi 1, pi 2 are both zero, so we have a lot of zeros until we get pi 3, which is we must have instantons there. So pi 3 of that, in fact, it is equal to Z, and that's where the instanton number lives, and this is the reduced K group of S4. So for each different integers, there's a different bundle here. Now, what about KSP reduced of five-dimensional circle? It is equal to pi 4 of the synthetic group. For unitary and for orthogonal group, if the number is big enough, pi 4 are always 0, but for synthetic group, pi 4 is equal to Z2. And this is actually the origin of global gauge anomaly, which is the simplest of such is the SU2 anomaly. It is due to this non-trivial element here. So again, everything in the in these K groups has a very concrete meaning. Now you notice that we haven't noticed that, but it is a fact that odd periodicity for orthogonal and synthetic group is that pi n of OK is the same as pi n plus 4 of SVK when K is big enough, and then is also the same as pi of n plus 8 of OK. So there's the 4 will shift from the orthogonal to the synthetic group, and 8 is the periodicity of for each of them. So in other words, KO of SN is equal to KO of SN plus 8, and it's equal to KSP of SN plus 4. So again, we will not prove that here, but rather we will see it in the future lectures. So as you see, that it's very curious that this V2, if I bought periodicity, it's related to the Mobius band V2 over there, and it is very interesting. So I have now finished the third part, which is calculation of homotopy groups on the sphere. So the last part is K group with compact support. Now we will reduce the non-compact case to the compact case in the following way. Suppose I have a non-compact space. Then I define the one-point compactification, which is at a set, it's the original space union with one point at infinity. This is just a set, I just add one point. Topologically, I say that this new point at infinity is close to all those far away points in X. More precisely, the points in X which are outside a larger compact open set is closer to that new point than those in outside a smaller compact set. So when you go further away, it gets closer and closer to that point, which I call infinity. So obviously, for example, the one-point compactification of the n-dimensional Euclidean space is the n-dimensional sphere. We just add one point at infinity and close the space. It is a matter of convention that when X is compact, then the compact, the one-point compactification is X union with a point which is detached from the compact space. So if I have a compact space here, then the one-point compactification is just adding a point which is disjoint from this space. This is also very reasonable because here I'm adding an infinity point in the compact space. There's actually no faraway points. Everything is close by. So if I add a point at infinity, it has to be disjoint from this space. So that's the notion of one-point compactification. It is now possible to define K group with compact support. I do it for K for complex vector bundles. For real and quaternionic bundles, it's the same construction. Now, there are two possible definitions. One is that I define X is non-compact. I define the K group for the non-compact space with compact support. This is the K group with compact support, although I didn't put a notation here, but as long as X is non-compact, when I wrote KX, it means K group with non-compact with compact support. So this is defined as the reduced K group of the one-point compactification. That is already defined because X is already compact. Now, you see that in this, if I define K group in this way, because I have at a point at infinity, and that point is connected to faraway points in X. So a vector bundle here, because of the local triviality restriction in the definition of the vector bundle. It has to be trivial at infinity. Therefore, it has to be trivial outside a certain compact set of X. So the class here, the bundles here, are trivial outside a certain class, a certain compact set in X, and therefore it is called a K group with compact support. And because we have our convention that when X is compact, I just add a point, extra point here. This formula tends to be also true when X is compact. When X is compact, an extra point is disjoint from X, and therefore the reduced K group, throwing away the rank of that extra point, is equal to the ordinary K group of the compact space. Now this turns out to be also true for compact, but this is just because we define the one-point compactification in this way.
So every space can be made compact by only just one point?
Every non-compact space can be made compact by just at one point. It is not clear. It is not always true that it will be made to a smooth point, a smooth space, but at a topological space, it's okay.
Like a cylinder will become, the ends will get glued together.
Yeah,
at
yes.
Point.
If we're sitting there,
no problem with everything.
Right. Yeah, because it has to be locally trivial there, so it has to be trivial near the both point if you want to detach these two points. Yeah, but it's not necessarily smooth like it could be. If you take a cylinder, the two infinities will be glued together. Okay, there's an alternative definition for K group with compact support, which is often very useful, especially in index theory. So I define K of X, where X is non-compact, to be the set of triples. There's a bundle of E over X, there's a bundle F over X. X is non-compact. But there's a bundle map. The bundle map alpha is an isomorphism outside a compact set. That's why, you see, that means outside a compact set, the virtual difference of E and F cancels. And therefore, in this way, the support is also restricted within a compact set. So this, of course, is equipped with obvious identification. That means if I add a bundle G on both F, E, and F, then I should identify these two. And one can show that these two definitions are equivalent. So now I'm going to, again, give you a few remarks and examples which are easy consequences of the definition of K group with compact support. For KO and KSP, I said I defined it in a very similar way, so I'm not going to that. Now, I said that the one-point compactification of the Euclidean space is a sphere. So the K group of Rn with compact support is the reduced K group of the sphere, which we already computed earlier, and similarly for KO and KSP. And further, these groups are rings without a unit because we have taken away the trivial bundle of rank 1 when X is non-compact, and KSP is not a ring. This is the same as before. What is more tricky is that I can pull back map. I can pull back elements in the K group not by any continuous map, but by only a restricted class of map, which is what is called proper map. So if I have two possibly non-compact space from X and Y, a map from X to Y is called proper if any if the inverse image of any compact set is compact. For example, the tangent inverse, arctangent, is not a proper map from R to R, although it is a continuous map. Now, if F is a proper map, then we can show that F can be extended to a continuous map to the one-point compactification, and we use that to define the pullback of the K group. It's just a technicality here. And finally, I'll give you an example related to for K group with compact support, which is coming from index theory. Suppose I have two finite rank vector bundles over a compact manifold. Suppose I have a differential operator. For example, this could be the positive chiral spinners, that could be negative chiral spinners, and this would be the Dirac operator. Anyway, suppose I have a quite general differential operator. Then, if I write the differential operator in a momentum space, namely if I do a Fourier transform, replacing the derivative by a cotangent vector, then this differential operator would become a polynomial in P with matrix coefficient, because these are high rank vector bundles. It's a polynomial in the cotangent vector over x. And if I take the top degree polynomial part, the polynomial can be degree 2, for example, there are also degree 1 part. If I throw away the lower degree part, keep the top degree, which is homogeneous polynomial in P now, and this would be called the principal symbol or the leading symbol of the differential operator. And for each point in the cotangent bundle, the principal symbol is actually a linear map from this space, from the fiber of E plus over X to the fiber of E minus over X. This is by just looking at the coefficient in the DDX. This is a linear map. And I have already plugged in the concrete numbers of T, so it also contributes to that linear map. And therefore, since this map depends on both X and T, it is actually a bundle map, bundle homomorphism, from a bundle in the cotangent bundle. Because originally, E plus and E minus lives on X. But since the homomorphism depends on P, so I need extra room for that. So I pull back the bundle from X to the cotangent bundle by that obvious projection map. And they now live on the cotangent bundle. And then this principal symbol is a bundle map from this E plus to E minus. Now, here's a definition. The operator D is an elliptic operator if the symbol map, if this homomorphism is an isomorphism as long as P is not equal to zero. This is a condition on the differential operator, which is not always true. For example, for the Dirac operator, if we choose a Riemannian metric for the base manifold, then the Dirac operator in this way is elliptic. The other operator is the Durham D plus its adjoint. It maps from the space of even form to the odd form. This is also elliptic. Now, if I put a Lorentz metric, then this D would not be elliptic. For all those momentums on the mass shell, there will be a kernel. In fact, the one particle states are labeled by vectors in that kernel. So it is very crucial that we have a Riemannian metric on the base to make sure that the operator is elliptic. If we have an elliptic operator, then we know that this leading symbol is a bundle isomorphism outside a zero section of the cotangent bundle. So over this cotangent bundle, I have bundle maps, and everywhere else except the zero section, these maps are isomorphisms. And this already gives an element in the K group with compact support, because if I'm assuming the base manifold is compact, then the zero section is compact, and everywhere else I have isomorphisms. So this defines an element in K theory, in a K group with compact support of the cotangent bundle. Now, usually what we do in index theory, at least in geometry and physics, is to apply characteristic class to calculate the characteristic class of this bundle and get a number. But as we noticed earlier, that it's possible for the K group to have portion elements. And when we do that, when we calculate characteristic classes, the portion information is lost. So sometimes it's more useful to keep the index in the K group rather than just writing it as a number. In fact, this was first how Atiyah and Singer discovered index theory. It was in the context of K theory. Okay, so that's all of what I want to say. Thank you. For example, the example of global gauge anomaly, which is actually an element in KO of S1, and that is a portion thing. And you cannot do that by calculating characteristic class.
So you mean like the SU2 case?
I suppose you have SU2 gauge group on S4. Then if you follow the space of connections mod gauge transformation, there's a non-trivial loop here because pi 4 of SU2 is equal to C2. So there's a non-trivial loop. Now, if you follow that loop, the fermion determinant lives in a certain line bundle over this S1. And in fact, when the representation is the defining representation, is a fundamental representation, and if there's only one copy of that, this is precisely the Möbius set, which is a torsion element in KO of S1. And it's not seen by characteristic class. Yes.
Is there a condition on pi 4 of STK?
Yeah.
And there was a condition that K had to be larger than 1.
Yeah, but no, 6.
Well, it is also true for K equal to 1. I'm not saying that for K small it would not be true, but it could be not true, but in this case it is true.
Okay.
But for UK, you see, pi 4, when you write pi 4 of UK equal to 0, K cannot be equal to 2. But because if K equal to 2, then we have SU2, which is a non-trivial pi 4. So you do see that it's possible to get error, but it's not, you're not guaranteed to make it.